Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same to Bible Crossfire. Just a few months back, we had a bunch of caller questions on divorce and remarriage. And I tried my best to answer those questions from the scriptures, because that's God's word. Let God tell us the answer to those questions. I thought for now, we'd get back to that topic. We'd discuss what the verses actually say. What do the verses in the New Testament on divorce and remarriage, what do they actually teach? Matthew 19:9 is a sentinel passage on this subject. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." Let's think about the first part of that verse for a second. If I divorce my wife, Carol, because she cheated on me sexually with another man, then God's going to approve of that divorce. But if she doesn't cheat on me and I do it for any other reason, say I do it for incompatibility, or I quote, I don't love her anymore. Jesus said, if I put her away, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, I commit adultery. That's what the verse says that I just read. So if I divorce her for that reason, God does not approve of the divorce. And if I remarry, Jesus calls that second marriage adulterous. Adultery. And not only am I committing adultery if I divorce Carol and remarry, but if she remarries, she's committing adultery. That's what the second part of the verse says. It doesn't matter whether or not we think something is fair or not. All that matters is what did Jesus say? And he's very clear in what he says here. It may be easier said than done for some couples, but the verse is not hard to understand. The second part said, whoever marries her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Some consider that to be unfair. What if she didn't do anything wrong? We'll talk more in about 5 or 10 minutes when we get to Romans 7 about why that's adultery, even though she possibly didn't do anything wrong. But let's talk more about the first part of this verse. If I divorce Carol for any reason other than fornication, and I marry Betty, Jesus calls that second marriage to Betty, adultery. Suppose I did that, and I want to repent of that so I could be forgiven by God. I mean, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. You can't get forgiveness for any sin unless you're willing to repent. A lot of preachers will say, no, you don't have to do that. But no, you have to repent. Here's an Old Testament passage. I like the way it puts it, even though it's in the Old Testament. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. It's not talking about prosper physically, financially there. I think spiritually. If you try to cover your sins, you will not prosper spiritually. Notice the second part of Proverbs 28:13. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, talking about his sins, shall have mercy. God shows mercy, but only to those who forsake their sins. Only for those who repent of their sins. Peter told believers in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You got to repent to be forgiven. Okay, so I've divorced Carol for, let's say, incompatibility. I married Betty. Jesus calls that marriage to Betty adultery. What do I have to do to repent of that so I can get forgiveness? We just established I can't get forgiveness. I can't be saved without repenting. What would repentance mean in that case? Could I just say I'm sorry and continue in that marriage with Betty? Continue, you know, married adultery is something you do in the bed, Hebrews 13:4. So I would just continue to sleep with her, commit adultery with her in the bed, but God's going to forgive me because I, quote, said that I repented even though I hadn't changed my mind about anything. No, repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Matthew 21:29. And so until I forsake my sins, God's not going to show me mercy. It says I have to forsake them in Proverbs 28:13. So let's think about some illustrations. Let's think back in the Old Testament times. Here's a man that marries his sister, an incestuous marriage. What would he have to do to repent of that and get forgiven? Could he just say, I'm sorry, and stay in the marriage with his sister? Well, how about New Testament times? What about modern day? In the last 10 or 20 years, a man marries another man, or a woman marries another woman, a gay marriage. Can they just say, we're sorry, but continue in that relationship? Continue getting in bed with one another? We're sorry. We know homosexuality is wrong. We know gay marriage is wrong. and we're sorry. Please forgive us. We're going to stay in this gay marriage. We're going to keep having homo sex together. What about a polygamous marriage? In some third world countries and in Utah before the Civil War, polygamy was legal. What about in one of these third world countries where a man has four or five wives? Can he just stay in all four or five of those marriages? Even though Jesus would call that adulterous, polygamy is a sin. Every man is supposed to have his own wife and every woman her own husband, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Can they just stay in all five of those marriages? That mean, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me for these polygamous marriages, but I'm going to stay in them? Oh, everybody can see that won't work. Then why would anybody think an adulterous marriage that you can just stay in that and that would work? Okay, I've divorced Carol for burning the biscuits. I'm married to Betty. Jesus calls that adultery in Matthew 19, 9, clear and plain. He couldn't have said it any plainer. I repent. God, I'm sorry for divorcing Carol and remarrying Betty. I'm very sorry about that adulterous marriage, but I'm going to stay in this adulterous marriage. Is that repentance? I thought the Bible says he that confesseth and forsaketh their sins shall have mercy. Ha, it's obvious to repent of that sin. You're going to have to get out of that adulterous marriage. You're going to have to terminate that marriage and seek reconciliation with Carol. Couldn't be anything more plainer taught in the Bible. If you have a Bible question or comment about this divorce and remarriage question or any other Bible question, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. Now, what I'm about to read was before Jesus died. The Old Testament law was still in effect at this time. The New Testament law did not go into effect until Jesus nailed it to the cross. Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Before Jesus dies, while the Old Testament era is still in effect, the Old Testament law is still in effect, John the Baptist confronts Herod. Now, secular history tells us that Herod had divorced his wife. Herodias had divorced her husband. Now Herod's married to Herodias. And let me read Mark 6, 17 and 18 to tell you about this encounter. It says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." It's not lawful for thee to have her. What would that mean that John is saying Herod must do to make that right with God, to repent and be forgiven? Well, let me illustrate. At least at one time in Alabama, it was against the law to smoke marijuana, to sell marijuana, and just in case a young man got caught with marijuana and said he wasn't going to smoke it or sell it, what else would you do with it? They made it against the law to possess it. So say you live in Alabama and you got some marijuana. You want to get right with the law of Alabama. What would you have to do? Well, you'd have to throw the marijuana in the garbage, burn it, give it to the police. It's against the law to possess it, to have it. So you can't keep it in your house, even if you're not going to smoke it or sell it. So when John said Herod is not lawful for you to have her, talking about Herodias, he's obviously saying you got to terminate the marriage. It wasn't just wrong that he had married her. That was true. But it was wrong for him to have her. Not lawful for thee to have her. So he had to terminate the marriage. Now, that was under Old Testament law. That was the law in force at that time. But I think it illustrates for us very well what a person has to do if they find themselves in a marriage that's unlawful according to New Testament law. Like one called adultery by Jesus in Matthew 19, 9. If I divorce Carol for incompatibility and marry Betty, Jesus calls that adultery. That's an unlawful marriage. It's not lawful for me to have Betty. I'm going to have to terminate that marriage, seek reconciliation with Carol. That's pretty clear. I think anybody can understand that. Becky from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Oh, hi. I just wondered, when I got married, I was very young, and no one ever told me about God. I found God later on in life, and when, so now I'm almost 50, crazy to say, and I read the Bible every day, and I try to live a godly life, and I now understand what marriage means, and especially in the eyes of God, and what my vows mean and how sacred that is. And now I get it. And when I was younger and I got married, I had a child out of wedlock. I was so lost, and I didn't do anything right. and I didn't realize what I was doing at that time, but now I do. And I guess I just worry that, you know, without leaving my marriage, that I finally understand what it actually means and what it's supposed to look like biblically. You know, it's like I'm finally doing it right, but does it not count? And is it still a sin? Like, I've talked to God and all the things, and he knows my heart, but that was like my question, I guess.
I mean, I'm not sure you didn't really spell it out. Are you in your second marriage now?
Yes.
Did you divorce your first spouse for fornication because he cheated on you?
No. No, I didn't. Young, and I didn't know God.
Yeah, God doesn't, you know, people are the non-Christians when they get married. They're married as long as they have a right to one another. God doesn't force you to marry somebody, but he expects you to stick with the one you choose. Let me read to you a passage and see what you think, Becky. Romans 7, 2 and 3. It says, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law, that's God's marriage law, is bound by the law to God, to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, right. If while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, we get from this passage that if your spouse dies, you have a right to remarry. But it looks like to me, this is saying since your husband, your original husband, is still alive, that you're still bound, meaning obligated to him, so that now that you're married to another man, you would be called an adulteress. What do you think about that, Becky? Isn't that what that sounds like, that saying?
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Now let's go back to Matthew 19:9, the one I started with.
How do I reconcile that with God? And how do I mean, we split up 20 years ago, you know, and
Let me read Matthew 19:9 again. Matthew 19:9, Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. Didn't say Christians. That even applies to non-Christians. So whosoever, the way you would make it right. Well, let's think about, did you hear me read Mark 6, 17 and 18 on the air a while ago, Becky?
I did. I'm driving.
When John the Baptist, when Herod had divorced, according to secular history, had divorced his wife, Herodias had divorced her husband. Now they're married. And John said to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. What do you think that John the Baptist was telling Herod to do?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah. According to secular history, Herod had divorced his wife. Herodias had divorced her husband. Now Herod and Herodias are married. John the Baptist says to Herod in Mark 6, 18, he says, it is not lawful for thee to have her. What is he telling Herod to do when he says it's not lawful for him to have his brother's wife, Herodias?
To divorce her?
Yeah, to terminate the marriage and seek reconciliation. Well, it doesn't talk about the reconciliation. We see that from other passages. He's telling him that he's got to terminate that marriage because it's not a lawful marriage. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm going to use an extreme just to make a point. Okay?
Okay.
Suppose we were under Old Testament law and a man married his sister. And I brought this up a while ago.
Yeah.
If he wants to, that was called incest under the old law. What would a man have to do if he had married his sister and he's in an incestuous marriage? What would he have to do?
Divorce her.
Yeah, he couldn't stay in the marriage. He can't just say, I'm sorry, and stay in that incestuous marriage, right? Because every time he has sex with her, he's committing incest, right?
Right.
So I think we need to talk offline to make sure we got all the details correct, okay? I'm going to try to call you back later, and maybe we can have a talk about this more in detail offline. But I think that's the best thing to do, is talk about it offline instead of over the national radio like this. But in general, when people get in a second or third marriage like that, if they didn't divorce their original spouse for fornication because they were cheating on them, that means they're going to have to terminate that second marriage and try to reconcile with the original marriage, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You want me to let you go now and talk more later when we talk in private?
Sure.
Okay. I've got your number. I'll try to call you later. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks
for your good call, though. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. The lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. Let me read another story that occurred in the Old Testament, while the Old Testament was still in effect, like Mark 6. This is actually back over in the Old Testament in Ezra 10. Now, what's going on here? In the first several verses of Deuteronomy 7, God had said to the Israelites, don't want you marrying anybody from one of these seven nations. Don't take a wife from one of the seven nations because they're idolatrous. And those wives, if you marry those ladies, they'll probably, you know, convince you to worship idols. So he said, you cannot marry a woman from one of those seven nations. But some of the Israelites did. And here's what God said that they were to do through Ezra. Ezra 10, 10 and 11. Let me read that. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Now notice from verse 44, some of these unlawful marriages, there were children. It says all these had taken strange wives and some of them had wives by whom they had children. So that didn't make any difference. Even if they had children with these wives that they married, contrary to what God said in Deuteronomy 7, they were still supposed to separate from their wives. Now, especially with children, that can cause problems. But I like to say this, but it's easier said than done, but we should rather die than to commit one sin. So it won't justify living in an adulterous relationship because it would be better for the kids. We want things to be better for the kids. We surely do. But nothing will justify living in sin, because sin's going to send you to the bad place. Okay? In other words, if you don't repent of that and get out of that unscriptural marriage, you cannot go to heaven. Let me just read you a passage from, I guess there's a number of passages I could read, but I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. It says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's going to give a list of sins that fall under this category of unrighteous. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So as long as you're involved in that sin of adultery, you can't go to heaven. It's just like the sin of idolatry, worshiping idols, or fornicators, or homosexuality, which is mentioned toward the end of verse 9. Or a drunkard. A drunkard can't go to heaven. Now, can he be forgiven for his sins? Yeah, but to be forgiven, he's going to have to quit drinking. He's got to repent of that. Remember Proverbs 28:13? If you confess and forsake your sins, God will give you mercy. Proverbs 28:13. So until you forsake your sin, you won't receive any mercy from God. People think, oh, if I repent of my sins, I deserve to be forgiven. I don't need the death of Christ. That's the exact opposite of the truth. If you don't repent, you're not going to be forgiven. And if you repent, you don't deserve forgiveness. But if you repent, God will show you mercy based upon the blood of Christ. So here in Mark 6 and Ezra 7, Ezra 10, we see a couple of illustrations. While the Old Testament law was in effect, people had to get out of their marriages. With Herod and Herodias is pretty similar to what we're thinking about in the New Testament, Matthew 19:9. And Ezra 10 is for a completely different reason. It wasn't because they had divorced and remarried. It's because they had married wives from foreign nations that God had told them not to marry. But in either case, they had to get out of these unlawful marriages. You can't say, I'm sorry for being in this unlawful marriage, but now that I've repented and got forgiveness, I can stay in it. That's not repenting. Not repenting when you're in a polygamous marriage, an incestuous marriage in the Old Testament, or a gay marriage. It's not repenting if you're going to stay in it. You got to repent. You got to get out of the marriage. And that's the only way you're going to get forgiveness. That's the only way we're going to be saved in heaven. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Now, let me read Luke 16:18. Very similar to Matthew 19:9, but the exception is not mentioned. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. So the caller just previous had put away his her husband, I believe, is the way she put it, and married another. So it calls her an adulteress in this verse. And whoever marries that husband she put away is living in adultery. And I read her Romans 7, 2 and 3. Let's read that again, because that tells us why it's adultery. Matthew, passages like Matthew 19, 9 and Luke 16, 18 tell us the facts of the case. If you divorce, unless you divorce them because they cheated on you sexually, if you divorce and remarry, it's adultery. And we know that you're going to have to get out of that adulterous marriage and seek reconciliation with your original spouse if you want to go to heaven. Romans 7 tells us the why. Matthew 19, 9 tells us the facts of the case. Romans 7 tells us the reason. Here it is, verse 2 and 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. When I said to Carol in 1988, till death do us part, God intends for me to keep that commitment. I'm bound to her, obligated to her as long as she lives. So if she's still living, even if Alabama says that I have the right to divorce her and remarry, that is, God, they may give me the right, but God doesn't. If she's still living, I'm still bound or obligated to her. So if I'm married to another, I'm cheating against her, even though Alabama says it's okay. Dave from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
So this here with having a second marriage and dissolving it, going back to your first marriage, I don't really understand why it will keep me out of heaven when it says I confess my sins so I can be healed. It doesn't say I should get out of the second marriage and go back to my first marriage, regardless if he's living or not. Where does grace come in with that?
Let's think about Proverbs 28:13. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, their sins, shall have mercy. So who's going to receive mercy? Only those who forsake their sins. So if you're in that second marriage, it's an adulterous marriage, the only way you can be forgiven to go to heaven is if you forsake that sin. You have to terminate that marriage, just like a gay marriage. Dave, what would you have to do if you were in a gay marriage? Could you stay in the marriage and get forgiveness, or do you have to forsake that sin?
Certainly not if I come to the light of Jesus Christ.
What would you have to do? Stay in the marriage or get out of it? A gay marriage.
I would definitely get out of it.
So what about a polygamous marriage? Stay in the married to five women or get out of the polygamous marriages?
So here I'm married for 43 years and I teach a marriage class. But here I want to tell you this, is that when we ask God for forgiveness, there's people that out there that got married and divorced and now they come to the light of Jesus Christ.
And so it's just like the gay marriage and the polygamous marriage. You understood the principle that if you're in a gay marriage or a polygamous marriage, if you want to get forgiveness by repenting, you have to get out of those marriages. And so it's the same way with an adulterous marriage. Why would an adulterous marriage be any different than a gay marriage or a polygamous marriage or an incestuous marriage? It wasn't. You can't tell God you're sorry for the adultery in the second marriage and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to keep sleeping with that second wife who I have no right to. You can't do that. Mike from New Mexico, go with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, so if my wife cheated on me, left the marriage, and she's still out and refuses to repent and come back, am I obligated to divorce her, or do I have to divorce her or not?
You don't have to divorce her, but if you want to marry somebody else, you're going to have to divorce her because she's cheating on you. Matthew 19:9.
Right.
If you divorce her because she's cheating on you, you have a right to marry. But you don't have to. You can choose not to divorce her. Okay? I got to go off the air, Mike. Thank you for the good call, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to go off there in 30 seconds. Have a good evening.
Sure.
If you would like to do a free one-hour phone Bible study with me, I want you to call or text me at 256-682-9753. Go to my website to ask me a Bible question or sign up for a free Bible correspondence course or listen to archives of my previous programs. That's BibleCrossfire.com. But if you'd like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. 256-682-9753. Thank you for listening tonight.